Hey, what's up, everybody? Topher Welsh here with my co-host and counterpart,
Eugene Kappen.
And we are here at VidCon with the lovely Molly McIsaac.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I just had a debacle where I went to the wrong convention center, but now I'm here.
Yeah, I thought it was at the LA Convention Center, too, and then Eugene had to...
Yeah, so there's like a million Hyatts in California. We actually went to two other Hyatts before finding the right Hyatt. So yesterday it was fun.
It's magic.
Yeah. So, Molly, for everybody who doesn't know who you are, can you tell them why you're awesome, why you're here, and why they should put you on their radar?
Oh, you know, self-depreciating. I'm not that awesome. Okay, I'm kind of cool, whatever. I am a quote-unquote content creator. I make YouTube and videos, of course, like everyone else. I also do a lot of Instagram and writing. I guess I would describe myself as a witchy weirdo, first and foremost. So I have a show called Simple Spells, where I show easy-to-digest ways to do magic. I'm also a hardcore Star Wars nerd and a fashion blogger, and I also am a fantasy novel writer.
So let me ask you this. How would you describe your brand? Like I'm looking at your tattoos. I see Adventure Time. I see some Final Fantasy in there. I see some what looks to be... Oh, look, there's a Moogle.
Yeah, and a Chocobo, and a Tonberry, and a Cactar, and a Phoenix Down, and Shiva.
And there's a doggy.
Oh, yes, I have two doggies. Both my doggies tattooed to me. And a Ouija planchette, and an elf girl, an elf mage. And then I have Pokemon all over my legs. And, yeah.
How often do you get that crazy question, like, what do your tattoos mean? What do they mean?
It means that I have poor impulse control.
Basically, yeah.
Like, how many tattoos do you have? And do they attribute to... how people kind of look at you and how you've, like, branded yourself?
I have over 20, probably. I would say, yeah, that people give me attention for them, especially because I want more. Like, I want full sleeves within the year, and I want, like, a full chest piece. At one point, I thought I'd only have a couple because I have a degree in theater, so I wanted to act. And I was like, oh, I can't have too many tattoos. And then I just was like, you know, F it. I'm going to just get covered because it makes me happy. And you should always do what makes you happy.
That's awesome.
But as far as branding goes, yeah, I guess I'm just like kind of a weirdo who loves a lot of things. I'm super geeky, but that's not all. I'm really into fashion and whatnot too. So I think that I always used to call myself, like, my old fashion blog was called The Geeky Peacock. I think that's a pretty good like way to describe me. I'm very loud and flashy, and I like to dress up and be strange, but I'm also deep cut geek and always have been.
Nice. So are you originally from L.A., or where are you, did you move here for acting, or?
Yeah, I moved here 4 days ago, almost to the day. I am originally from Alaska, actually, and then when I was a teenager, my parents moved us to Idaho, and then I got the hell out of there as quickly as I could, and went to Seattle, which you're from, Eugene.
That is where I'm from.
Yeah, and then 4 years ago, I quit my job. I was really miserable, and my apartment rent was going up. I'd been wanting to move to LA forever, and I just kind of took it as a sign that I should just pack my car up and come down here. So I kind of came here with no direction. I still don't have direction most days, but I'm finally feeling like a Californian after 4 years, and I'm happy to be here because people are much more creative and inspiring down here.
Have you ever been to VidCon before?
I have, mostly the parties, though.
Oh, yeah. This is actually our first... is this your first VidCon?
This is my first VidCon.
This is my first VidCon, too, so we don't really know what to expect. We went to TwitchCon last year, and I'm assuming it's going to be like that, but on steroids.
Yes.
Or meth.
Or ecstasy.
Or that.
I feel like that's the drug of choice between the cons.
So many heart emojis happening over everyone's head.
Yes. And also people literally wearing T-shirts with their YouTube channels on them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I walked by one when I was coming here.
A friend of mine, when I first got into YouTube, a friend of mine started a T-shirt shop after meeting
with me. T-shirt time.
No, so he was like, I want to open a business. And I was like, what type of business do you want to open? He goes, I want like a trendy T-shirt shop. And I was like, you should call it Backroom Hipster because that sounds trendy. I was like, and he was like, okay. And then we didn't talk for 3 months. And then he just calls me and he's like, hey, you should come down to the shop. And I was like, what shop? He goes, oh, I have a shop called Backroom Hipster.
It sounds like a hipster brothel.
It was literally in the back of a Mexican market. Like, you had to walk through a Mexican grocery store.
Did you have to give a secret password, like, I love PBR, to get in?
I think Coheed and Cambria was the password.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. It's so weird that we didn't meet in Seattle.
Yeah, it is really strange. I feel like we were probably on each other's peripheral a lot.
Well, you guys have never met.
No, we've met before.
Oh.
Yeah.
But not when I lived in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
We met officially at PAX, the BioShock party.
That's right.
And then we went and played VR until the sun came up.
That was a fun night.
Yeah, Eugene was my gateway drug to VR. He was the first person to put a headset on me. There's a really hilarious video of him holding the cord while I run into walls.
And her, like, crawling around on her knees and stuff.
Yeah, Well, first the Star Wars one, which made me cry a lot.
Was that the trials on Tatooine?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was losing my actual shit. But then I don't know what that one was where I had to, like, crawl through tunnels and stuff, and I kept crawling into the wall.
I don't remember what it was either. But our sponsor has just reminded us to use the hashtag... To another reality.
Yes.
Hashtag to another reality.
Yeah. Also, what everyone doesn't know is these podcasts here at VidCon are going to be sponsored by Another Reality, the company that brought us out here to check things out. So check out hashtag to another reality and check out anotherreality.com. Definitely.
Awesome. I do remember the first time you kind of came onto my radar. I was looking at the hashtag anime on Twitter, and you had a tweet saying, I just want to meet a guy who will watch hours and hours of anime with me and get froyo.
Yes.
And I was like, where are you?
And she's like, I'm single.
I was single all the time, and she went, I just moved to LA from Seattle.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh...
Like two ships passing in the night.
Goodbye. But that's okay because we ended up meeting at PAX and then we became friends.
I know. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. But
friendship is magic, as the ponies would say.
Also, like 30-year-old Navy guys.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yiff, yiff.
So let's talk about like projects that you're currently working on.
Well, I mentioned Simple Spells, so that's my weekly, 30 second to 1 minute videos where I show you how to make, magical objects or do spells or things like that. I also am writing a novel, which is why I haven't really been making YouTube videos lately, because I have been consumed in writer's hell.
Tell us what the book is about.
It is about this girl named Sorcha who collects keys, and then one day she decides that she's going to go see what all of her keys unlock, and she finds this book that unlocks the secrets to another reality, and that's about it, all I'm going to say about that. But
So it's kind of an Alice in Wonderland tale.
A little bit in the modern time, very high fantasy, very like ethereal and whimsical. I really was writing it as like an allegory for mental illness and the way that it's perceived in the world. So yesterday I actually submitted the blurb and the name to the cover people. So I have a cover now. So that's exciting and nerve-wracking because the book's only like half finished. So I'm like, oh no, I have a cover. I have to finish it.
Or you've let everybody who worked on that cover down.
Yes, but it's called Unlocked Dreams. So hopefully that will... happen sometime soon.
Do you have like a date that you want to like get it done?
I definitely want to finish writing it by the end of the year. Okay. If I don't finish writing it by the end of the year, I will have failed myself and everyone around me, and then I might just walk off a bridge or something. I don't know. Just to go swimming, not to actually
myself. Okay.
I just need to relax. I'm going to jump off a bridge.
Chill out, guys. It's cool. I just want to cool off.
Yeah.
Don't jump off bridges without bungee cords or bathing suits.
Or parachutes.
Yeah. All that good stuff. So how long did it take you to finish the first half of the book?
Well, I wrote like a few chapters and then I completely scrapped it only a few weeks ago. And then I found kind of a new voice, and it actually came with kind of getting the cover. I felt like this like new, exciting, like drive for the book. So I scrapped everything I'd already written, and I've just been writing nonstop. And I have a really amazing mentor. His name is Danny Bell. He wrote these amazing young adult novels called the Black Pages series. And he's been really riding my ass and being like, Molly, you have to finish your book. Like, asking me questions, prompting me. So that's really helped me. And so over the last 2 weeks, I think I've written like 10 chapters.
So a segue about writing your ass. You were recently in a music video, weren't you?
Well, that was last year.
Okay. Yeah. So what was the music video?
The hotel sex one. Yeah.
And what were you doing in that music video?
I was making my ass clap with glitter on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I missed this video.
I saw the post yesterday. Okay. So it's super new to me too.
It's called Explode. It's my friend Augusta's band. It's really good. It's kind of like Paramore if Paramore was super kinky. So they wrote the name of their band on my butt and then were like, make your ass clap in slow motion for the red camera. And I was like, okay. It is a skill that most people don't know I have because I'm always wearing like 10 layers of flowing fabrics.
Gothwear.
Yes, gothwear. Goths have secret talents too, like ass clapping.
Topher, do you have any secret talents? Can you make your ass clap?
Can I make my ass clap?
Yeah.
I cannot make my ass clap, but what
it's
can
all
I
in the back.
It's all in the back?
Yeah.
You got to get that.
I can
get that booty pop going, yeah. And then the.
Yep.
I can do like the Latin booty shake. That's where I stand. when we're not doing the podcast, I will perform it in front of this room of people.
Okay, I'm very excited for that.
Okay, so let's talk about. So you were working as an actor, and you ended up on a TV show.
Yeah. yeah. So when I was. In my early 20s, I was doing the acting thing and sending my audition tapes into everywhere. And there was this one casting call in particular that basically sounded right up my alley. I'm a huge reality TV show nerd. I'm like obsessed with Jersey Shore. And the people who made Jersey Shore were making a version of it except with geeks. So basically exact same format, but except with geeks. And I was like, oh, well, I should obviously submit to this. So I did. I filmed an audition video, and I think within half an hour, I got a call back.
Really?
Yeah, well, because, okay, one of the questions was, if you could go on a date with any fictional character, who would it be? And I went on this super long tangent. This is before Kylo Ren existed, so Boba Fett was my first Star Wars love.
Okay.
And I went on this long tangent about how I would have a bounty on my head, and then Boba Fett would come to collect the bounty, and then instead of the bounty, I would offer him sex, and then he would fall in love with me because I like was so good at the sex, and then he would take me around on the Slave One, and we would bounty hunt across the galaxy together. And I wrote this very, very long, basically fan fiction about it, and the casting director was so tickled by it that he called me and was like, okay, well, you're amazing, and when can you come out to LA for the second casting? And I was like, I'm down. So I ended up on this show with six other people, called Fangasm, and it was a very interesting experience. I won't go quite as far as to say a nightmare experience, but it definitely takes a psychological toll on you to be filmed for almost 2 months straight, 24/7, and the only privacy you have is in the bathroom, only if you're showering. Because, like, if you go to the bathroom to just, like, pee, they don't demic you. So you just you just have to, like, the sound guys just listen to you use the restroom. I mean, they say that they mute it, but they forget all the time. And I think we only had 2 days off the whole time, so it was just, you know, towards the end, I was drinking every day. There's this, like, magic power you have when you're in that sort of TV environment where you can just say into the air, like, oh, gosh, I really sure would love some whiskey, and then whiskey just appears, like a PA, like, scuttles into the kitchen and then runs away, and then whiskey's there. And so the only way that I was able to, like, kind of deal with this constant Big Brother feeling was to start drinking heavily, so I just got real wild. And then after it aired, I was depicted as the villain because people don't like outspoken women on TV. At least they didn't, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. And, oh, God, was it really that long ago now? I guess it was 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't know. But so I got a bunch of death and rape threats, which was super fun. Oh. I got doxxed by 4chan twice.
Well, now you know you've made it if you got doxxed by 4chan.
I know. It's amazing. I need a pin that says doxxed by 4chan. Proudly doxxed by 4chan.
Instead of your shirt with your YouTube thing on, it says,
yeah, yeah.
I was doxxed by 4chan.
You know you're doing something right.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's so interesting. Like, I've definitely seen, like, a correlation between how much fame you have at a certain point versus how many trolls and just absolute shit you get.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this conversation all the time with Onision and Billy the Fridge.
Mm-hmm.
We hang out. We go and drive ATVs and paintball and whatnot. And a lot of the conversation is, oh, hey, this is how much hate I got this week.
Yeah.
So it's so weird to come to a convention, kind of like VidCon, and see all these young kids going, I want to be a famous YouTuber, not realizing there is so much crap that comes with that role.
You have to roll super high in constitution if you want to be a public figure. I have had nights where I've just like laid in bed and sobbed. But what's really funny is something that I did at the peak of people like watching me on TV and stuff when I was getting hundreds upon thousands of mean comments is that I would respond to every single one with like, thanks for watching, smiley face. And 9 out of 10 times people would be like, oh shit, there's a real human who's reading these things that I say to them. And then they would like totally change their tune and be like, oh, you're great. I didn't know you'd read this. It's like, oh, well, you know, it's kind of shitty that you just start spewing hatred into the universe, but hopefully this gives you a small dose of humanity to realize that someone is actually there getting hurt by the things you say.
Yeah, don't be a dick to people.
Yeah, it's, I don't know why it's such a hard rule to follow, but somehow it is.
Unless you're, I don't know, you're putting children into camps.
Oh. Yeah, well, you know, that's the role model of our country right now.
So let's talk about something a lot happier.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's cheer this podcast up a little bit.
You just got engaged.
Yeah. In November, I got engaged.
Eugene was telling me there is an epic story behind
this. Yeah,
there's
an epic proposal story.
End of October.
Isn't there?
Yes.
So tell us about this guy who has encased your heart.
Like it's in carbonite. Chris is the most hilarious person I've ever met in my entire life. We actually met on Twitter because I, yeah.
I met my wife on OkCupid.
Yeah.
I met my ex-wife on MySpace, so.
Well, you're clearly not on our level, not having Twitter.
I slid into his DMs. I was really drunk one night, and it somehow worked. But we'd been together for, like, 2 years as of last November, and October is a really hard month for me. There's a lot of like trauma anniversaries and stuff, and he decided to make a new wonderful memory. So every week we host a movie night at our house where we watch Criterion films, and we have like 20 to 30 people there. It's really fun. We have a really strong friend group, and he went to put the movie on, and instead of the movie, it was a Star Wars fan film that he had made. Starring him and my dogs,
mm-hmm.
As he like went across the universe trying to find like a ring, and like he spliced himself in having sex with Kylo Ren, and you know, which is like my ultimate fantasy. And at the end, BB-8 rolled out of the bedroom with a ring, and he proposed to me. So that was pretty cool.
What?
Yeah.
Awesome. Like he had one of those mechanical like BB-8s.
Yeah, we have one of the Spheros. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty great. It was definitely wonderful, and just all my friends were there, so it was pretty mind blowing. And my best friend helped him orchestrate the whole thing, so she was like in the background of the whole movie, which made me feel really happy too, because she's the best.
Aww.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, it was really cute. I definitely feel lucky. We still have to make some like really weird engagement photos though. We wanted to make like one with like the floating pear from episode 2. You know,
floating pear.
Yeah, when Anakin feeds Padme the pear, he like floats it across the table because it's the stupidest scene of all time. George Lucas probably spent like $200,000 on just that CGI pear.
Oh, totally.
I don't know. I can do that same scene for $30 with some fishing wire, an actual pair, and a piece of string.
Yeah, but then it's not LucasArts CGI, Eugene.
I can go in and After Effects out the string.
wire removal.
What? Right.
Are there any
Topher and I can do that for $30.
Yes, but can you also make racist amphibians?
I'm sure we can figure it out.
Yeah, I mean. I mean, I'm sure if we want to go that route, I don't know why we would, but
just call up Donald Trump. It's fine.
Right.
Ribbit. He does look like an amphibian.
I'm sure we're going to fight some in the Space Force wars that are to come.
The Space Force wars.
Can we talk about the Space Force? Can we just stop for a second and talk about the Space Force? This is the weirdest thing.
What? Is this a real thing?
Yeah. You didn't know about this?
No. Donald Trump just declared a sixth branch of the government, of the military government, as Space Force. In his words, we need total space dominance.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, so, like, we're going to have the Air Force, and then we're going to have the Space Force.
That's pretty cool.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's a waste of money right now.
I think that might be the only cool thing he's ever done during his presidency.
Yeah, it's like IRL Star Trek.
Well, the thing is,
maybe he should stop defunding NASA, then.
This is true.
Or maybe he was defunding them to put those funds into Space Force.
Mm.
But
I just want, like, spaceships. I mean, if Space Force means we get, like, flying cars... I'm all for this because, I mean, with, like, NASA, we got the pen that you can write upside down with.
Yes.
With the Space Force, I hope we're just going to get, like, flying cars.
Unfortunately, we're probably just going to get missiles who can reach other planets and blow up our entire space system.
But
solar
flying
system.
Cars. I mean, it's a good trade-off.
Or real lightsabers.
Too much Jetsons.
Or real lightsabers.
Yeah, real lightsabers. I'm here for that. Give me that.
Plasma swords.
Like, we are going to be developing the first Jedi Order, and we are going to have Jedis in the Space Force, and we are going to protect Earth.
I think that would actually probably piss off a lot of his constituents, because they're all like, a lot of them are like clearly Bible thumpers.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. If you want Space Force, you have to have science.
Well, I'm sure they would find some cognitive dissonance loophole.
Science is Donald Trump's mulligan. That's what it is. So, anyway, hey, where can the people find you, Molly?
The internet. I'm not actually a real girl. I'm just made of bleeps and bloops in the internet. But within the internet, literally, I'm Molly McIsaac across the board. And that's Isaac with Mick on the front. So it's two A's, not two S's. But yeah, find me. There's blue hair and lots of pictures of my chickens and dogs. So you'll know that you're in the right place.
And they can find you on Twitter, YouTube.
Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, although I'm banned yet again on Facebook.
What for?
Oh, I was mean to racists. Like, literally. I posted a video of a guy getting punched.
Oh.
About to get punched in the face by a black guy when he was about to use the N-word, and I said, gosh, I sure do love seeing racists get owned, and I'm banned from Facebook for 30 days for that, so.
Really?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Should have posted it to WorldStar.
Yeah. It's very, well, it wasn't even my video. I was reposting something for WorldStar. Yeah.
That's terrible.
It's stupid. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we want to say thank you to our sponsors for this episode.
Another Reality. Go to anotherreality.com and use the hashtag toanotherreality. ARWall, Monster VR, Reality Smash, and GlamourCon. Thank you so much. We will see you in the next episode.
See you later.
Bye.